You're good? Okay, I'd like to welcome everybody out tonight to our regular city council meeting, May 11th, 2021, 6:30 session, or 6:30 time. We'll start tonight with the Pledge of Allegiance being led by Coulter and our opening prayer by Russell.
Good afternoon. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Our kind and gracious Father, which art in heaven, we humbly bow our heads before thee this evening to thank thee, Father in heaven, for the opportunity we have to meet here tonight as the council of the Mount Pleasant City. Father in heaven, we're grateful for the opportunity that thou have given us to live in this beautiful community. And we ask thee to bless and guide and direct us as a council and the mayor and the workers, that we will do all that we can do to enhance and make it a better place to live. We're grateful, Father in heaven, for the opportunity to live in America. And we ask you to watch over, guide, direct, and bless and protect the leaders of this great nation and all those soldiers and frontline people, our police, and all those that so protect us. Father in heaven, we're grateful for the moisture that thou have provided thus far, and we ask thee to continue to bless us with the moisture that's going to be needed to sustain us for the summer. Now tonight, as we go about going over the things we need to discuss and approve on this night, we ask that thy spirit be with each one of us to discern and do the right thing. We love thee, our dear Father in heaven. We love our brother and Savior Jesus Christ, and seek and thank thee for these blessings in his name, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you. We'll start with the roll call.
Justin.
Here.
Kevin.
Here.
Mike.
Here.
Russell.
Here.
Rondi.
Here.
And Sam.
Here.
Okay, a lot of minutes to approve. We'll start with the March 2nd, 2020 public hearing, held at 6:30. Concerning our impact fees.
Make the motion to approve the public hearing minutes for March 2nd, 2021. I'll second that motion.
Okay, I have the motion by Justin and seconded by Ron to approve the public hearing meeting at 6:30 on March 2nd, 2020. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, our April 13th regular city council meeting held at 6:30. Approve the minutes of it.
Well, I'll make a motion to reapprove the regular city council minutes, 13 April 2021, 6:30 p.m. regular meeting.
Have a motion by Russell and seconded by Sam to approve the April 13th regular city council meeting held at 6:30 p.m. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Approval of our April 20th 2021 special work session held at 6 p.m.
Still in follow-up with
this. Yeah, it's ongoing next week.
Make a motion to approve minutes for the April 20th 2021 6 p.m. work session.
Okay, Okay, I have the motion by Sam and seconded by Justin to accept the minutes from our April 20th, 2021, special work session held at 6 p.m. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is our April 27th special work session held at 6:30, or 6, sorry.
Make a motion to approve City Council's special work session of the, on 27th of April, 2021.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, I have the motion by Justin and seconded by Rondi to approve the minutes of April 27th, 2021, special work session held at 6 p.m. All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next is our April 27th, 2020, regular City Council meeting held at 6:30.
If no one has any questions, I'll make a motion to approve the City Council meeting, the City Council minutes, April 27th, 2021, at 6:30 p.m.
Second.
Do you have the motion by Rondi and seconded by Russell to approve the minutes of the April 27th, 2020 regular City Council meeting held at 6:30? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Next, approval of adjustments, our transaction register dated 4/1/2020. 1 to 4/30/2021 in the dollar amount of $729.95 and a minus. Negative.
Are these credits on the meters just because? Meters aren't
even right. Are you talking the net meter credit?
Yeah, the net meter.
The net meters, the solars that speak
more. Or the credit penalties, I guess.
Which one are you, can you tell me what specifically you're looking at so I can see what you're looking at?
Do you want the number? There's one to the hospital here. So one to IHC, Sandy Valley Hospital. Credit penalty for the 672. There's another credit penalty.
Those were billing errors that we had to correct.
Okay.
Was it on power or water?
Yes.
Water.
Any other problem area out there?
Yeah.
Yep.
Water and irrigation work.
Well, the reason that one was because the billing got left on for your sprinklers through the winter.
Yeah,
they didn't catch it, so they had to refund them for the winter when they didn't have a sprinkler to count on.
Well, if there's no other questions, I'll make a motion that we approve the transaction register from 04/01/2021 to 04/30/2021 in the amount of a negative $729.95.
Okay, I have a motion by Russell and seconded by Rondi to accept the transaction register dated 4/1/2021 to 4/30/2021 in the amount of a negative $729.95. Roll call.
Russell?
Yeah.
Russell?
Yes.
Rondi?
Yes.
Sam?
Yes.
Okay, next item is approval of claims register dated 4/10/2021 to 5/7/2021 in the amount of $421,939.14.
You know what's very complex, man? Huh?
Down to the substation for the new transformer.
far west do we go, Chase, with the power? Who do we supply down there?
Just get the agreement before you go to the board.
Go all the way out there and all them, huh?
Deuce Coats is probably the furthest west, isn't it?
Yeah, Deuce Coats. Right, lane right there.
So do you go up to the Deuce Home, bring your house on?
No, that's off Rocky Mountains, off Rocky.
Does he live up where Olson, that Olson house is?
Yeah.
Turns back to the north?
Yep.
Up in there?
Yeah, we go that far west.
You got the Doug or Donnie?
Doug Olson's old house.
Yeah.
Is it out there on that?
No.
With that yellow house right there.
Just on the highway.
On the river, on the Sandpiper River.
Coats Lane goes.
The old Olson house, isn't it?
Yeah, Donnie's house, yeah.
Yeah. I don't know the first name, I just.
Where does the frame go?
What are we talking about?
Bridge went to the rental house.
Rental house.
Mary Lou's.
Over here?
Yeah.
The little Sandpiper Ambulance Association on page 13, near the bottom. Is that just an annual? So remember they used to come here and come give us an update of what they've been doing?
Been many years since they've done an update.
Yeah, it was almost like they were at that point asking to donate whatever we could, but now it sounds like it's more formal, maybe.
It's like one.
They've been asking it kind of same way with that formula per
capita.
Capita.
But they don't collect that through the county though.
I know they go to the other cities in the north, but I'm not sure what the county is about.
Because I don't think though the county recognizes it as a service, like a service district anymore. It's almost, they've almost become independent in a way from the counties.
They have.
So. They still gonna build a building over there?
Got Lawson's up here or anything?
Do they pay a rental up there on the old armory?
No.
No?
We pay the utilities and everything on it.
That makes pretty good money, that old Red Cross.
It's just a ambulance association, North Sandpiper Ambulance Association.
Yeah, but aren't they owned by?
They're owned by the Ambulance Association.
They're their own association.
Their own association. It's a nonprofit.
Okay, I thought they were.
No.
Are you ready for a motion?
I am, I'm good.
Anybody got questions?
I guess I have one question.
Okay.
The iWorks Systems, is that an annual payment for $29.75 on page 12?
I can't remember, I think that's annually.
I think it was.
And that's some of our public works and changing.
Mostly public works.
I'm actually gonna see if we can trade out power for a day from longer. You guys want to use those or not? No, we tried to, it just wasn't working for us.
That's the only question I had.
Any other questions? Okay, we're ready for the motion.
Oh yeah, I was gonna make that one.
Who's gonna make that motion?
I'll make a motion, we approve the invoice registered from April 10th, 2021 to May 7th, 2021. For, in the amount of, $421,939.14.
In a second.
Okay, got the motion by Justin and seconded by Kevin to approve the claim register dated 4/10/2021 to 5/7/2021 7/2021 in dollar amount of $421,939.14. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Devin.
Yes.
Russ.
Yeah.
Randy.
Yes.
Sam.
Okay, a couple of requisitions. Requisition number 511-2021-1331. Xander is annexer for the dollar amount of $7,835.
Supposed to be for some sort of development, yeah?
Transformers.
That was the actual one, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, 208-120, this is for the Levi Wright service out, three bays out to the industrial park. So it's just gonna be a pass through.
Okay.
I'll make the motion to approve requisition 511-2021-1331 for a 150 KVA three-phase transformer in the amount of $7,835.
Second.
Okay, I got the motion by Justin, seconded by Russell, to approve requisition 511-2021-1331 to Hanexter for a 150 KVA transformer three-phase in the dollar amount of $7,835. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Devin.
Yeah.
Russ.
Yes.
Randy.
Yes.
Sam.
Yeah.
Next requisition is 511-2021-341. To Irby for a 150 KVA 480. Three-phase transformer for the dollar amount of $8,380.
This one here is for, we're working on an agreement with Tyler Olson, a three-year agreement for spraying. And so he's, we're just gonna, for him doing the spraying, we're gonna do a trade for a three-phase service. So it's just gonna be,
For what now? When doing what?
Tyler Olson's gonna be, we're trying to lock in on a contract for Tyler Olson to do all of our spraying every year.
All spraying.
And so we're just, we're trying to, in 3 years, we figured out that he'd be able to pay for a three-phase service. And so in 3 years, we'll bid it out again. He just got the bid.
So you just spray in your yards and stuff?
Yeah, our yards and everything. We have to spray up the canyon for FERC, in the intakes and the pond and all that, so. So we're working on that.
So the agreement is not yet in place?
No, not in place. But I wanted to jump on the transformer while it was available. So they called us with first dibs on this one. And so I'm like, well, if he doesn't use it, we'll use it somewhere else.
Is this out of the industrial park?
Yeah.
It not, a lot of power there, it just needs a bigger service.
He just needs 480 there for to run some equipment, and then he's gonna have a single-phase service along with the 124 single-phase.
Is there nothing there yet?
No.
I'll make a motion to approve requisition 511-2021-1341 for a 150 KVA 483-phase transformer. Amount of $8,380.
I'll second that motion.
Okay, the motion by Justin and seconded by Randy to accept requisition 511-2021-1341. Xander is Irby for a 150 KVA three-phase transformer in the amount of $8,380. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Devin.
Yes.
Russ.
Yes.
Randy.
Yes.
Sam.
Okay, so just a FYI, we usually try, when we bid this stuff out, we usually try to get anywhere from 2 to 3 bids at least. We did get some cheaper bids, but I'm not quite sold on aluminum wound transformer yet. And
so I want to stick with the copper, because those are the ones we know that, you know. And so, might be a little bit more money, but I think it pays for itself in the long run.
Is that something that's just new that they're doing?
No, we just haven't had luck with the ones that...
Stick to what you know?
Yeah. And so until they can kind of work out those last few bugs on some of these transformers, we're just going to hold off on and buy the ones that, you know, we are good quality.
Yep, pays for it in the long run.
Yeah, okay. Hey, thanks, guys.
Thank you, Shane. All right, number seven, swearing in of the youth city council. We have to table that because none of them could make it tonight. So that will be tabled. Report from library board. Don's not here.
I'm here, she forgot, and I don't think she reminded me.
What did you shout when that's her?
She heard us talking about her and she ran.
Looks like we'll have to table that one.
They must have coordinated with the youth city council and not showing.
Are you texting her real quick?
Yeah.
So then you move it out. That's a mayor and five council members?
Yes.
Same as our pharmacy.
Done by the youth, yep. They have treasurers and they have quarters and they have everything too. So they also have councilman plus like the city administration offices too.
That's cool.
So they also help on celebrations and everything too.
Yeah, they have that a lot there.
Yeah. We'll have to table the report from the library board. I know they just got some new board members and Don was going to come report to us on that. So we'll go ahead and table that for tonight. Next item, George Anderson, an action on an outside city limit water meter.
I own a property just east of Dan Mills. You go up 35 north, the gravel road that ends up there, Dixon Nielsen, Mike Christensen. Anyway, there is, there's an old water meter that's on the property. Coulter knows where it is. And I just found out a couple weeks ago that my mom and my stepdad, who've been talking about moving out to Utah for 20 years, they got their home sold and they're going to be moving out, and I wanted to get a water meter there and put in probably about we haven't figured it out exactly yet, probably about an 1,800 square foot manufactured home. They're both pretty old and has to be everything on one level. And so anyway, I made a little map, but there's a show where the old water meter was, and then the water line goes up 9th East, or from 9th East it goes up a few hundred yards, and there's, I don't know if it terminates where the fire hydrant is or not. That's where it terminates, is at the fire hydrant. So I know Dan Mills is hooked onto it. I know that Jim Paz on the other side is hooked up to it, and then I think Wagstaff's the ones that built, I think they hooked up to city there too. So, and I'm in the 1 acre buffer zone area, but the parcel is about 4.5 acres. Yeah.
So Mark Christensen's not, he's on well, right?
He's on well.
He's on well. Yeah. That well was there a long time ago.
So what's the backstory on that meter?
I accidentally found it one day when I was walking through the bushes.
Has it ever had a meter in it, or is it just a...
I don't think so.
It did actually. From what I knew from Gary Harris, who I bought the property from, Dudley Rowe, when he worked for the city, it was put in like 60 years ago or something.
How long?
60 years ago. It originally ran to his house, but it went across the creek. And I think it probably has some problems with the line freezing and stuff like that. So then when Dan built, Dan went and hooked up. I know Walter Priest brought the line up there. And so it would have been after, because it went from the Rose to Walter Priest.
Is it live? Did you check it?
No, it's going to be on the old dead line. That's old.
I was going to say, it's probably not even hooked to the,
No. But I want to be on the other side of the creek. So the property, the Pleasant Creek basically splits the parcel in half, and just the path of least resistance would be to just turn the corner from where the water line ends, and then just run it back to where the manufacturer.
Have you worked out the right way on that road right there? Coming into your property there? Because the road dead end right there.
My property is before the dead end. My entrance is before.
Oh, your entrance is right before.
Yeah, so I'm before there.
I didn't ask, I just wondered if you went up past that or if.
Yeah.
His gate's right before Dixie's.
That's a private road. We don't maintain that, do we?
That's.
It's a county road.
County.
Off of county road up.
It gets plowed.
County takes care of it.
But it's a dead end?
It is. Yeah, it's technically 35 north and 900 east, and it goes east for about a quarter of a mile. It just dead ends into gate by Dixie Nielsen's house.
So are you putting on the north side of the creek? The manufactured home?
Yep.
Okay.
And then I circled down there. There's a power pole right on Dixie's property, so there's power like 10 feet away from the property line. If the line terminates at the fire hydrant, it's probably got to come east another 150 feet and then have to come around the corner and then just go back, so.
I have a hard time visualizing that, where that is. 35 north, you say?
I've got a good satellite map right here.
You know where Mike Christensen lives?
You go up Main Street, it hits the dead end.
Yeah.
On 900 east, it hits the dead end. If you go north, just a little ways.
Just past the city shop a little bit.
No, going there.
Yeah, north of the city shop.
Yeah.
Past the creek, you go up that dirt road.
Hamilton.
Right there, what I call Hamilton.
I never knew that. That was a county road, I guess.
Well, where's the city line?
900 east.
Well, the city line runs up that road.
The city boundary line is 900 east. There's already an existing city water line that runs up that road.
Just the city water line. Mike, so it's still. There's a city shop.
Would you have to extend that fire hydrant for any reason?
This is the piece Jordan wants to put the water.
Fire would be.
This is 9th East, right?
That's 35, 9th is right.
Will probably be treated like any other line extension of beyond the property owner's dime.
I'm not asking the city to do that for anything.
Obviously, somewhere along the line. That's why I was asking if you'd have to extend the main line with another fire hydrant.
Well, of course, you're going to do it if it's a dead end, but that's.
I think a lot of pressure.
Then you have that fire hydrant going 100%.
Right. What's the plans for the other property there?
You know, I don't know yet. You know where my old house was, Kevin, and you did some work up there, and so did Mike. But, so I don't know yet what I want to do with that. I was originally going to build a house there. I bought a house in Fairview 5 years ago, and the longer I've been in it, the more I like it. I'm going to put my folks there, and if I don't build on it, it'll be for my kids. So it's going to stay in the family. I'm not going to let it go outside of the family. It's just too nice of a place.
There should just be a service line off the main line.
Is this show 900 east?
I got to get you a bearings here.
I do too.
Expensive.
It's north.
I was trying to think how far the distance would be from the main to that Gibson property line.
Just not so that.
I can measure.
I don't know. That can catch on a different street.
It would have been more than 200 feet, I don't think. I didn't check. I didn't know where the line ended, but it terminates at the fire hydrant.
Yeah, the fire hydrant's the end of one.
Hold on.
So I got to think about that.
That's what I was trying to not, I know what's at.
Well, that's north. It says.
I don't know where your gate's at. I want to say it was kind of negative for me.
Well, it was, but it's kind of set back.
It is set back now.
Yeah.
I've been up there for a while, but.
Where are you going to put the modular on the piece?
That must be.
Well, it wouldn't matter because it's right up to the boundary line, and it.
I don't know if that's for.
It's back there anyway.
Yeah.
So it would be.
I would put it up to go to the corner of the gate probably.
I'll show you the map when they're done.
Hey, George?
Yeah.
Show us where 900 east and everything is. I don't see those other properties.
What's this road here?
What's that?
What's this road?
Okay, so this is my old, this is the, everybody called it the Castle House. I built that house 23 years ago on Power Plant Road. Okay, so you've got the city water storage tank up here, Jim Fackel's house.
This is the county road right here?
No, this is, so Power Plant Road runs parallel right here.
Oh, this comes in and then goes up.
And so 900 East is down here.
And then the Power Plant Road's off.
Right.
This is Power Plant running parallel here, and then 9th East runs here, and then this is 35 North.
Okay, so where's Mike Christensen on that side?
Okay, so Mike T, this is Dan Mills, that's Mike Christensen right there. And then down here is Tom Allen. And then the way I staff is built a new house. I'm at the end of it. So Dixie, you know Dixie Nielsen? Okay, so Dixie, she's a widow. She lives right across the street.
So you're on the south side of the existing street?
Correct. Right, and so.
So you're gonna have to extend the road.
No, I don't have to extend the road because my, the road comes to right here and my gate is right there. So I.
You're gonna put a driveway in and.
It's already here.
Extend the main line a little bit.
Yeah, but it's already there.
Well, if you're gonna extend the east side, plan more future staff.
Is it a 6-inch line or do you know?
What kind of a line would you have if that ended up? We don't want to extend it if it's gonna be development in the next 20 years.
I don't like it being developed.
What size of main line is that?
I think there'd be enough to run him a service company. George can build 2 4-inch water wall.
So Dan told me there's only about 30 pounds of pressure on the line. I do it like pull it to the coast line. Because eventually, at some point, I want to put up a barn and I want to have a bathroom.
That's a car. Dan told you this about that. Why would there only be 30 pounds of pressure close to that? Yeah, he's got a big.
He's got goats, and so he's going to get through that fence.
I'm gonna need a boost up there. My old house up here, I didn't have enough pressure off the main line.
One more pressure than that of the.
Whoever buys that.
Mark and Tammy and them is one of those things I thought.
They connect above the tank. Shouldn't be me. Mark connects above the tank. If you're below the tank.
So that's why he's like.
I have personal experience from the house that's on the other side that I built.
That doesn't make any sense, but.
He's a pretty good guy.
I can go pressure.
He's committed to talk to you if you tell him that.
And there's just one of those things. I have a pressure that's not like. And the other idea is.
You're going on 3/4 or 1-inch.
And again, it's rather than discussion so much.
There's a line that we're talking about.
Why so much time to get down and try it? Nobody knows what it is. That's kind of why I tried to do it. I didn't give very good.
That the last one got pretty out there.
There's one section that we don't know.
Well, there is, but there's a response.
They have pressure.
He's responsible. So they got this box. I gave their stuff. Couple hundred feet. That's a problem. That's like the back side.
But you know what?
But we don't, on the side, the line, all these are so shit to the south.
And it gets so much.
One of the jokes for life gives.
That's for the joke.
It sucks.
Okay, cool. I guess my thing is, if you take a group of two others like us, it's kind of been outside of city limits, so.
Give them all the pop on council.
It is about city limits. I mean, granted, you're doing an extension, but.
I don't see a problem with it. Like you says, there's been a couple that have been right on the property or the boundary line and.
And if there's an old beater there, sometime there was water there.
Well, you could almost consider it as a grandfather from years ago if there was a meter there before. I mean, some decision was made before, long before our time to put a meter there, even though it's been inactive. I guess that's where I would probably hang my decision on is there's been one there before.
Coming back on Dudley Road, what for the city?
That's what it was. Yeah, that's what Gary told me.
Rear gate to the hydrant.
The sewer, what about the sewer?
If
It'd be septic.
You're going to be able to connect on the sewer, or what's the plan?
I think sewer lines all the way down to 900 east, so I'd probably have to do a septic.
Is all those people got septic tanks up there?
Yeah.
They all do.
Everybody's on septic.
You know, at some point in time, when are we going to decide we got to extend sewer lines so we don't have all the septic tanks in the new growth that goes east?
Well, that's, we kind of missed the boat on that, because that's in the buffer zone, and we ran water up there, and so we don't really have a much leverage to require that with the people that are on that lane right now, because they've been approved with septics. But I think I would like to see, as we approve services outside the city limits, that we have some kind of agreement that in the future, if the city ever decides to annex that property, that they would be willing, like a memorandum of understanding or something that's recorded, that would be, because...
To connect to the sewer.
Yeah, because what's really...
Yeah, because it's, you're not getting revenue from it.
And then we lose our leverage to do that if we run services out there.
If it's annexed in, it's in the city ordinance, and if they're extending so many feet of the sewer, they will find the sewer. It's in the city ordinance.
Like 200 feet, right?
300 feet. Yeah, but all I'm saying is that they don't necessarily have to annex either.
No.
No.
But, I mean, if it ever becomes city in the city limits, then it all falls under that city ordinance, and they will look at city sewer.
If it's up there.
If it's up there.
Or within 300 feet.
Within 300 feet of that zone.
And there's probably some on, right now, that fit within that 300 feet.
Nothing that hasn't been tied in already.
There's not?
The one that's right there on the, just as you cross that creek on the north side, he's tied in to the sewer right down northeast. The others are further up.
Is Paul Hamilton tied into the sewer?
Paul Hamilton is. Paul probably isn't, actually. Paul's on the septic. Him and Ron, and then... Jean Paul.
Kukumeisters.
I can't remember, too.
Meisters.
Yeah. Kukumeisters, no. And then Max's.
Okay. Does he live up there?
Yes.
Yep.
Jean Paul?
Yeah.
Yeah, he lives right there, the door south.
Sound mountain.
Yeah.
I thought he was...
They bought the old...
Recently, did they just move there or something?
Yes. Couple of years. They've been there 4 or 5 years.
4 or 5 years.
To me, that's recently.
What are we talking about?
Yeah.
Jean Paul.
Who's right?
Smith.
Can't remember their name.
Well, they had the...
Somebody want to make a motion to...
Do we have to make a motion on it?
Yep, let's make a motion on it to accept that water hookup.
Can we put the condition on there of the annexation memorandum of understanding to, that if it ever does petition to annex it, you will go along with that?
I think the biggest thing, just for him, just telling him to put a septic tank out where he knows the sewer line would be easier to connect than around behind the house, you know?
Right. And I like, well, I think, well, he'd have to do any of the standards on that, where it's supposed to fit in, like, you would have to stay away.
I'm not talking about necessarily just the sewer, because, like I said, if we run services out there and they're right on the boundary, there's no incentive for them to annex.
Right.
Justin, he submits a building permit, though, to county, they should give him a buffer zone agreement packet, and I can specify that.
Okay.
In the buffer zone agreement, that we would agree to annex, and George would sign on that, too.
All right.
And the impact fee, the question I have is with the impact fee, that'll be charged when you get the building permit?
Yes.
Okay.
Yep.
So if the service gets put into the meter, the impact fees are charged when the building permit's drawn out?
Yes.
And depending on how fast he moves, he might beat us to the punch on that.
Well, they're saying they're up to 6 months out on the manufactured homes, so, I mean, I just want to get site prep and all that stuff done, but, I mean, it's probably going to be, you know, late fall before we actually can get it in there and get everything tied in, but I'd like to at least get all the site prep done.
So why don't you make the motion the way you want, Justin?
Well, I think Dave's got it covered in the buffer zone agreement.
Okay, then I'll make the motion that we approve Mr. Anderson's request.
I'll second.
Okay, I got motion by Russell and seconded by Justin to approve George Anderson for an outside city water limit, or outside city limits water meter. Roll call. Russ done it.
Can I just ask a question? Sorry, I know there's a motion, but is there any water with that property?
I have 4 shares of Pleasant Creek, but that's for the whole 11 acres. And I actually had, I think Dave asked me a question, yes. I mean, I have some trees, and I mean, I'll water them for about 3 hours once a week, and that's about it. I don't use it. I'd like to keep it, though.
So you do have irrigation lines up there, huh?
I have one riser on the property.
Question on that level. Maybe I'll do the motion first. But so you pay any money with those shares in Pleasant Creek?
Yeah. I pay for my shares in Pleasant Creek annually, and then I've got a monthly bill with the city.
I know you paid on the city side, but...
Okay. Okay.
So who motioned to approve that?
Russell made the motion, and Justin seconded it. Yep.
Justin?
Yeah.
Kevin?
Yes.
Brett?
Yes.
Robbie?
Yes.
Tim?
Yeah.
Okay, you're good.
So next stop is Dave or Coulter?
Dave.
To Dave, okay.
For the building permit. Well, unless you want to extend it up quicker than getting the building permit.
Okay, well, it's recorded in the city, so I'll probably go to the county next.
Well, to get a building permit, you have to get Mount Pleasant's first.
He's in the buffer zone.
Okay.
Go to the county and come back.
All right. I thought we had to send it with you to the county first.
Okay. All right. Thank you.
Okay. Thanks, George.
You got a little pressure on that. Okay. All right.
Next item, Greg Stewart, fence.
Gentlemen, Greg Stewart. I bought the Anderson Farm just south of Montoy and the just west of your industrial park. It used to be the airport about 10 years ago. The last 10 years I've been patching the fence, propping it up, fixing it up. I have decided to change out the webbing on it or the just put up a new fence. I'm running goats now instead of cattle, so I'm putting up a higher priced no-climb horse fence. I know it's a little expensive, more expensive than the 30-inch stuff that most farmers use around here with a couple strands of barbed wire, but that really doesn't keep a goat in or a dog. So anyway, I'm just asking you guys, I replaced about 1,000 feet last year. I paid for it all. It cost me $1.39 a foot plus tax. That's a 48-inch no climb horse fence.
You shouldn't be paying tax on that. It's agricultural use.
Most of that's for feed only is what I'm getting. But I didn't buy it at, anyway, I looked for the best deal. So anyway, I got for about $139 for a 100-foot roll, and I got about another 1,000 feet to do. So I'm just asking you guys for a little help on the money end of it. I'll do the work. You guys pay half the fencing, and I'll pay half the fencing because I know it's a little more expensive. A little bit of an upgrade. We have had bulls, horses, all sorts of stuff come from the Montoy, escape and bust through our fences and come into our property over the last 10 years. Not a big deal, but it does happen. So, my opinion, good fences make good neighbors, and you guys are my neighbor. So I'm asking for just a couple $1,000 to finish it up, and I'll do the work, clean up the mess, and we'll have her done.
Does your property border the Montoy?
Yes.
So you're on the south end.
Yes.
Right on the road.
Yeah.
I got to drive down there more often, I guess. But
I walk by there every morning. He knows me.
Yeah.
He come out and walk by his dogs.
I'm trying to keep the dogs in, too.
I'm worried about the dog just licking me more than it wasn't biting me.
I worry about your dog getting, our dogs getting your dog. They're, you know, Pyrenees and a Russian wolf or a Russian bear dog, you know, they're protecting their goats. But we do communicate with the Convoy Director every now and again that he has his jumping courses going on in his races, and we keep our dogs away from that fence, because their course is feet away from our bottom fence. So I put my dogs on the upper side so they can't go down and throw a rider just by bumping the horses, because they will, you know. So anyway, just asking for $2,000, and that'll pay for the rest of the fencing, and I'll do the work and clean up the mess. Mm-hmm. So it's probably a total of about $4,000.
What kind of post are you using on that?
I'm using the old posts where I can, and I'm putting up T posts, and then I've got a bunch of cedar posts, and then some treated posts where I have to replace them with posts.
So you're building stretch panels and all of that out of the cedar?
Yeah, I'm not the best fence builder in the world, but I think it'll last another 30 years.
The one you got up looks pretty good.
Yeah. Is that the one with the little squares?
They're 2-inch by 4-inch squares. They're made for horses so they don't fall out and get their shoes caught on.
Yeah.
So they're good for goats too, because the goats tend to hang themselves on.
I rode down there. I couldn't see, you know, what you'd done.
Yeah.
Between there, I see what you had on the front along the road. Is that similar?
Yes, that's exactly. Eventually, I'll get it all done, but.
Well, the questions we're going to come with me is, and I don't know, maybe it's an issue, we don't really run into this a whole lot. Is there any issues with needing like an invoice or anything like that on fencing for auditor reasons?
Yes. Yes, we'd love to have a copy of the invoice.
I got bank copies.
Wouldn't it basically be that Greg would just have to make us have an invoice? Or whoever we're making the check out to, that we have an invoice from.
Would it be for buying the fence?
Probably technically they would like to see some sort of additional backup data that, you know.
Usually on something like that, he can make out an invoice, but he's got to collect the receipt showing where he came up with it and then he came up with it.
Yeah. Well, the portion that you're going to pay for is the portion that I haven't paid for yet. So I will get an invoice when I buy the
materials.
Where prices have gone up.
Where do you buy it?
Either Tractor Supply or IFA. IFA's usually been the cheapest, but you can only get 100-foot rolls there, and that's okay. You know, I think right now it's $154 for a 100-foot roll instead of $139. So the prices have gone up a bit. And it's a 4-foot.
If I remember right, the city, I'm just curious, maybe my other thoughts. So if you're getting all the way here, I'm just wondering, the city can give it a tax-free. I wonder if it'd be worth us just purchasing the fence and you putting it up, if you're willing to do that.
Yeah, either way.
Because if it's on city property right away, or it's, you know, fence line anyway,
that might be a cleaner way to do it.
That's just what I was just thinking.
You put 1,000 feet and I'll put her up.
Might just be cleaner on the auditor side of it.
What about posts or whatever if you need some?
I'll supply the posts. I mean, I've got, most of the posts are there. The T posts are still in pretty good shape, and then the other posts I just replaced with either an old cedar post or a treated.
If we buy the fence, I think that's
kind of. Well, he can just go down and get an invoice and bring it back. The city can just pay the invoice.
Well, if we go purchase it, then we get tax free. Where if he goes, then it's saves some money.
Okay.
I think it's a good option.
I understand that, but I just thought. I just wonder, what's the rest of the fence going north? Is it just a field fence?
Yep.
And it's in poor shape?
It's in horrible shape. I've been patching it for 10 years.
I guess my only thinking is, you know, at some point in time, we ought to have a fence down the whole thing.
This will basically fence his off.
Totally. It'll fence his off, but I mean, I'm talking about around the perimeter of the whole.
Is that just stock fence there now around, or is it even fence?
Well, you got the chain link fence, the sewer pond. Well, it's true on that one side. What's your neighbors west of you?
West of me is, I can't remember. I know Jim Sorensen's lease there.
Survey
is there, yeah, but I don't border him. It's the railroad property that I bordered.
Barbara Johannes.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's Bill Johnson's daughter's husband.
Yeah, and then there's a little piece on the west side that still belongs to the Anderson family, and their daughter just bought that. There's a 7-acre piece just west of this. And then there's another piece kind of by the Fackles there. I just can't remember the guy's name.
I know there's just one piece of fence right there.
Yeah.
Is it us that's dumping stuff over there, Colter? Across that little ditch that runs down the south end of the convoy on the old railroad track?
No.
There's a hole right there, and somebody's been back, and then they're dumping excess rock.
Panels.
Yeah.
I think the convoy.
I see it when I'm walking. Is that, that's our property?
I don't know if it's, did we ever get that trade to go through from BA on that railroad track right there?
Last time it was, I was outside of town.
I know what I'm talking about. That little ditch runs there, and then just to the south of that ditch, there's a hole down there.
I don't know who's dumping in there, but.
There's a guy in the.
The little triangle piece was the one that we were working on with Barbara.
I'm just trying to figure who owned that, who owns that.
That was all signed over.
It's on the county map. I mean, it's still. But I know there was a guy burying animals down there.
Across the street.
About 3 weeks ago, and I'm not sure if there's steers from the convoy, rodeo, stuff.
On the south side, remember when they were doing that triangle piece?
Told them to bury it deep.
Old railroad there too, though. That's all, that's all. Barbara's, isn't it?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
They were digging holes and throwing animals.
Yeah, for the loader. And then burying them.
I might have somebody know something about that.
I don't know where they came from, but I saw, I'm the water Nazi on that ditch. So I was wondering what he was doing down there, and didn't want him to plug up my ditch with his big loader. So I ran down there and saw what he was doing.
New loader, old loader?
Pretty big loader. Not sure if it's a convoy.
Well, that's something for another.
Yeah, just something to keep in mind.
If everybody's in agreement, I'll make a motion then that we approve.
You know, we keep saying we're using old posts. If you're building a fence, why wouldn't you put new posts in there?
At the expense.
Well.
And the digging.
I would think.
I can tell you the fence you got down there right now.
Well, it's a pretty sturdy fence. But posts, a lot of the posts around here are 50 to 100 years old.
Yeah, they rock.
There's no doubt. And you know, if they're shot, I'd sooner spend the money to put in decent posts.
Well, the digging would cost you a lot.
That's your job. If we got the posts.
I would replace the netting.
So all you're going to do is hang the fence. All you're going to do is hang the fence. Stretch it, hang the fence.
I'm going to tear down the old fence, and then where the posts need to be fixed, I'll either put it, if I can dig out the old post, I'll put a newer post in, okay? Or I'll put additional T-posts in to support it.
Well, generally, it builds good stretch panels, and I haven't seen the fence, but I have built a lot of fence.
Yeah.
Typically, you put in new stretch panels, and if the T-posts are good, yeah, go ahead and use them.
Well, if you wanted to look at the fence that we built.
Well, I'm all right with.
It's 1,000 times better than what it is right now. So.
Yeah.
It's not going to hold the bulls that escape every now and again out if they are going full speed. You know, they'll go right through it. Anyway, I appreciate your time. Neighbors.
Thanks, Greg.
All right. Thank you.
So Russ made the motion?
Yep.
Do you want to give a Colter on that?
We approve his request.
Basically,
we will.
We'll buy 1,000 feet.
We'll buy 1,000
feet of the
material.
The woven, not the welded.
Yeah, they'll have to match what you've got.
Yeah, we want it to match.
I think that's a good advance.
The welded whole
wire side is true. So.
Okay, I'll get with you and make sure.
Yeah. So, is that it?
Yep.
1,000 feet.
Good.
I'll make it look great.
Okay.
Somebody want to second that motion?
You want to come and teach me how to build a fence? I know how to dig a hole, but I've dug rocks out that big with this thing.
He's trying to talk you into going down there. Been around about.
Thanks for your time, gentlemen, I appreciate it.
Okay, so I have a motion by Russell and seconded by Sam to approve buying 1,000 feet of, what actual net do you call that?
It's called four foot no climb horse fence.
Okay, 4 foot no climb horse fence. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yes.
Russ.
Yes.
Rocky.
I'm gonna vote no on this one.
And Sam.
Yes.
Okay. You're good. Thanks, Greg.
Thank you.
Public participation. I should have switched.
Todd, that's my only concern is that it's a decent fence, and you say it is.
It is, the one you got up is a good fence.
Well, what concerns me is we have a lot of fence that isn't where property owners are adjacent to our property.
We do, but I think.
See, we have a situation where.
We've got the contoy and.
Reality, the city still owns it, having the main over there, and now property like stuff.
Yeah. Yeah, there could be some liability there in a way, I guess, I don't know.
That's what I say, you already had some trouble with the contoy, so.
Mayor, appreciate this opportunity, city council. I just wanted to take a few minutes and address you on a little bit of concern that I read here recently about our irrigation water. I noticed on the city's main page, under its homepage, that they have a message on there on our irrigation water problem, which I know that we always have issues there, but my concern is a little bit different than what you might think. Doesn't really have anything to do with a lack of water or too much water. What it has to do with is the, well, I'll just read it to you. This is what it says on the main page on your website. We are currently 3 days a week, and these are about the water restrictions that we've been implementing on, that the city's implementing on. It says, you'll be cited for watering out of turn. No exceptions will be made, which I already knew that we had an ordinance in place for, which happened, I think, during Blackham as mayor. I believe it's when those ordinances were approved to cite people for watering out of their days. And I guess there's even fines. I remember reading about the fines. That still isn't my concern, even though I disagree with that. My concern is this part here, what it says after it gives us the days that we're supposed to water, and this goes for culinary water and irrigation water. It says, please call Mount Pleasant City, report any violations. That's my concern. As a city resident, I feel what that does is it, when you start having neighbors turn in neighbors for violating water, irrigation water, which is, let's face it, irrigation water is a privilege. All it really amounts to is the water melting coming down off the mountain. It's a luxury for us to have. It's not an absolute necessity. But we do enjoy it, but to have our neighbors call in the city and turn each other in, it just makes enemies out of neighbors. And I don't like the fact that the city wants to push this sort of thing. I will just be frank, the last time I saw this was when I lived in California 27 years ago, and they were doing this already, and it just makes enemies out of people. I think for the solution for me is a fairly simple solution. Again, I don't agree with fines for misuse of irrigation water, but they're there in the books. But what I would like to see the city do is let's implement a friendly, more courteous way of enforcing these rules instead of asking neighbors to turn each other in, which there's going to be some that are going to do it. They probably already have
it to do.
But let's just push conservatism. Let's push to be kind and considerate to our neighbor. If we see that their water's on, let's tell instead of tell them to call the city and turn them in, let's tell them to take, have a friendly conversation, go, hey, you know, your watering days are not this day. Turn your water off and let's water on the days we're supposed to. I truly believe we have a society of people nowadays already that dividing people is just rampant right now anyway. There's just too much division with neighbors and communities in the first place. So seeing that word on our Mount Pleasant City page just kind of hit me wrong and bothers me, and I would like to see us do that differently. I actually would like to see the fines off irrigation water come off, even though I know there's city ordinance, but that would have to be action taken. But what we could do, we could ask each other to conserve our water, use only water when we're supposed to, abide by the rules, and just push that. And push a friendly neighborhood, and let's not turn each other in and make enemies out of people, because it does. Water is a big problem around here, always has been, but it's only a problem when you look at it that way. When you look at it as a luxury and it's something we enjoy, if we run out of it, we run out of irrigation water. Now, culinary water, that's a different story. Culinary water is something we use inside our homes. It's what we flush our toilets with. It's what we drink our water with. It's what we, you know, when that gets to a point where we have to be shutting that off, that means the car washes need to be shut off too. I mean, there's all sorts of problems with the culinary water when we get that far off. Mm-hmm. But I just wanted to make that comment that I that's disappointing for me, and I would like to see the city change that if they could and be a little more user friendly with those implementations on irrigation water. And I know that that it was a less than normal year. I did look up all that information the last few days to find out where we were sitting on water. Surprisingly, for our mountains right here, for northern San Pete County, we're still sitting at 63% in the middle of May. We're almost the middle of May for our average year. Did you know that just 5 or 6 years ago, when we had twice the snowfall, we had a warmer spring? We had less water sitting on the mountain. So with these cooler spring that we've had very little hot temperatures so far this spring and early summer. We still have pretty decent water sitting up on the mountain according to the geological survey on their website. So
well, I think that has been a godsend that it's been cool enough to keep that from coming down all at once.
But I just don't want to see us having our neighbors turn on neighbors. It's just not a good thing for the city to do that.
Well, my wife and I were talking about that today just before I came, and this is rare, Jeff, but I agree with you on that one. But I think it is, it does have a tendency to pit neighbors against each other. And
I agree too. I agree being more friendly. Going down before I see this is I know neighbors that particularly someone next to me and going over to home because they water all the time, they tell me, F you, go back on your property, you got my property. That's the only downside to
it. Yeah, but how many of those encounters do you think there are in overall? I mean, I
don't think there's that many, but I do.
There's the other side of it too.
There is.
Well, when St. Water's using more water than they're supposed to use, and the person down the street's garden is drying up on them, now you got problems.
I do agree.
And if we lived in a society where everybody was law-abiding citizens and everybody done what you asked them to do and everybody took their turn like we've asked them to do every 3 days right now, if we had that kind of society, that would be wonderful.
Well, we can all do our part. My grandfather had a saying that he used to say a lot, and this was a long time ago. The society's changed a lot more than it has when I was a young kid. But he used to say we needed more preachers than we did police officers. And there was a thought behind that. There was, you know, when you teach people and you do your best to teach and you be friendly and nice and courteous, it goes a long way rather than just the, you know, dropping the gavel right off the bat on someone. So
I agree with you on that too. Well, I mentioned this last meeting that there's a lot more dynamics to it than just
this is your turn to water, and you water when that's your turn, because of the deficiencies in the system and everything else, there may be people that don't get a turn, and so in their mind, they're rationalizing, saying, well, I didn't get a turn, so I need water.
Yeah,
so...
You know, I hate to say it, but we've tried it over years, and he's been on council when we did this back in the day, is we did it back in the day when, okay, use water, once out, it's out, and that's just the way it is, and reality, I think people were more conscious and more conservative. It's kind of weird to the...
Well, I think there is some psychology there a little bit, and if you're on restrictions, then even if it's raining outside, you're going to water, because you can't, it's your turn.
But we have done that in the past, where, you know, what was... And he said, here it is. You know, there were a lot of people that were mad that we did it that way, but on the other hand, it almost seemed like our water went further, because almost seemed like people were actually more self-conscious of doing
It is a mindset.
There's lots of issues. I've had neighbors a lot. I have, but not anymore. My whole neighborhood's changed. But who this particular person was gone a lot. They didn't have their irrigation water on a timer or anything. It was hoses. And they were considerate. They did call the city and say, hey, I haven't been able to, or they were on vacation, and she'd go on vacation quite a bit, and her yard would fill with pot, and she wanted to water when she got back. I mean, there's lots of excuses, but this particular person wanted to water at night, you know, because they had been gone a lot. They got home late. They couldn't manage themselves. And so what I'm saying is there's circumstances all over town, and when you see something written up that says no excuses, and, you know, you will be cited. I mean, I just think that it just sends a wrong message. I think if we work with people and we do a more user-friendly message, I think it'll go further. That's my opinion.
I think that's good counsel, and I think that we ought to take it under consideration.
Absolutely.
So.
Well, I have a couple questions. When someone calls in, can they remain anonymous, or do they have to give their name? You know that, Officer David?
They have to give their name. If we don't see it, then there wouldn't be evidence of a criminal activity. So if the water's off and we get here, they have to give their name.
Okay.
They don't even get the name. The city hall doesn't give it out to the policeman when they go.
But if you're calling for a chronic abuser, it's just disregarding all our watering schedules. Do you have to give your name?
No.
And that name has to be used?
If you're the only person who observes it, you would have to give your name.
For the receipt of citation.
Because it's a crime, right?
Based on...
Yeah, well, it's going to be a citation.
Yes and no, because if you call it in and the city hall calls the policeman around and he sees it on, you don't have to turn in your name. Because all they do is they call them and say, hey, we just had somebody report the water's on at this location, and they go out around to look to see.
See, that's what's sad, is we have to do that. I mean, it's just...
Well, last year...
I like what Sam said, you know, just if we could just turn it on, when it's gone, it's gone. It'd take a lot of pressure off us, too, but what we run into is, like Colter, what we find one day, 11, 15 hoses running on lawns. Culinary water just wide open and just stretched out on the lawn so nobody could see it. And that's what brings this on, this urgency. Well, just things like that.
How many times has Stone Creek Pond been dry?
Already.
And today's May 11th?
Nope, it was dry again this morning.
That's the third time this year that pond's been dry.
Jim Sorensen hasn't been able to get his sprinkler head across the field down there yet.
I think it's because the water not coming down. It's been cold.
Well, like the water's going.
It's going in the ground.
It's going in the ground.
Yeah, but still been able to hold a lot of it up there, and that's been a good thing. The old mountains are sucking it up according to hydrology. You're going to see some runoff. You wait till warm weather hits.
Yeah,
you might. It's gone. Most of it's gone. Twin Creek may see it.
We can get up to our upper intakes. Usually, we can't get there till like June.
As I say, Pleasant Creek's seen its high water. We've seen our high water gone. Twin Creek may still have because they're higher up, but most of Pleasant Creek is...
Sure, a lot of water going down the sand pitch.
No, there isn't.
Well, it's frustrating because last year, like, half my trees died, my garden died, my lawn died. And my neighbor across the street has an immaculate half acre of grass.
I did that 100%.
I didn't turn them in, but there's obviously people that aren't following the water.
Yeah.
And it's...
Well, there's also lots of people that are on culinary and they don't have irrigation. And my point is there is a difference. There's a difference of necessity. Culinary is a necessity. The irrigation water is a privilege. It's something that we just get to have. It's runoff.
But the problem with the culinary and abusing it, is when you're in restricting, you know, you ain't got enough culinary as is, and now they're using it outside.
Well, that's what happens. The irrigation gets turned off, and here comes the culinary closes.
Yep.
Yeah. It's an obvious condition.
Well, I think the point is we just got to be a little more... especially the flood bathrooms. But
it shakes out pretty fair when we deal with people.
Yeah. I was gonna say
have conversations before citations get issued.
Right.
And it's usually twice at least, I think, because I think a lot of times Coulter and his guys drop the little flyer around, put it on the doors, talk to them.
We talked about plans of getting everybody on the same page with some living documents.
Yeah, and then usually our police officers are called. They go there at least once before there's ever a citation. It's usually the third or fourth time before there's ever a citation issued.
You know, the downfall is if it's the same people every year, there should be a ticket. I mean, because it should make a difference from year to year.
I agree with Mr. McDonald. We should have worded it the way we
were. That's true.
We should have never got the neighbors involved in this.
Yes.
I don't
want
to worry that.
Yeah. Yeah, the neighbors should be involved. We should be asking for sure.
We'll go on and see if we can't change that on our webpage.
That's hard.
Change it to more, help your neighbors be more friendly, help them turn them off.
People know.
Yeah.
Need to call somebody in.
Yeah. That's true.
I mean, there's over the years, there's been people killed over water.
Yes.
It's livelihood.
Yep.
And I'd imagine these farmers down here on Twin Creek right now are just about ready to...
It's just not Twin Creek.
Yeah.
It's everywhere.
We're on July rat, or we're on August, but we had August ration already on my farm.
Things are going to start dying. They're going to start drying up and dying. People are going to get desperate.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next action. Adopting our tentative budgets. Resolution 2021-03, resolution adopting a tentative budget for Mount Pleasant City for the 2021-2022 fiscal year.
Only quick question I have about the budget statement from out. Make sure that they get that.
Yeah.
Well, down on the bottom, I should ask, how much has it come change? It just says in addition, so on a 1.8% cost of living adjustment has been budgeted, but in addition, step increases were asked by the department head. Are those according to, like, certification, or are they actual, like, evaluations?
It's according to, but Cameron went and got his fiber.
He went to get fiber, but don't we give them both? Well, my question is, I guess the obvious question is trying to be budget, but I mean, don't they automatically, they don't wait until budget year to get those raises, right? So like Cameron, when he went and did his certification, he gets the raise then, he don't have to wait until next fiscal year, correct?
Usually, but it was so close to this year's budget that we just put it in next for next year.
That's just my
answer. He's ready to get a certification, we should pay him then versus wait a month.
That makes sense. That's just my concern.
And I asked Cameron about that, and he's like, that's cool.
I don't know who it was. I was just in general asking, you know.
But we do evaluations every year also, too.
And then they get, depending on how they do a different amount. Is it an increase or is it a set amount?
It's a set amount. It's based on that, whatever that council adopted that then.
That pay scale, code.
That was my other question, sorry.
No, you're good. That's what it's for. Ask questions.
Absolutely. Any other questions concerning it?
Was this the point in time where we have to, where we keep right to discuss what Mont presented with Jack's stuff?
Yeah, yep.
To make an amendment to the budget?
I was just tentative right now, so it's not that.
Yeah.
Right.
Yep.
But we need to prepare.
Well, there's things that needs to be added before we do the final.
Right.
I've already been prepared.
Well, it's tentative.
Yeah, it's tentative. So that's where we need to talk about if there's things that we need to add in or take out or anything else.
So that's already, you've already worked that in? With you and Mark, the convoy and Jack and Mark?
No.
Just the one out of it.
The wage we did.
We didn't put this in yet.
No.
Till now.
So how hard is that to put in now?
Is there a page that's reflecting this? Is that balance? And it's balance is not getting.
Did this come like?
The first thing where I had seen that was David Rainey in today.
Right here?
Uh-huh, okay.
So that happened to David, he seriously has stayed after work until 8:00 at night each night, and that's barely being presented.
So that's, and Dave has asked him for that before.
The $7,000.
Yeah, because what I don't know, that meeting, this was supposed to, he was supposed to come back with this.
Yes.
That's been.
2 months ago.
Yeah, I would say 2 or 3 months ago.
At least two.
I have a question. The convoy manager raise is coming out of the REA.
Yeah. Yes.
Sort of.
Yeah, it's recreation.
And that, we did that so that we could get some of those things we need. They're
right.
More necessity.
Yep.
I mean, I know they've got what they could earn, what they've got coming out there. Jack and wife.
So basically in that statement page is kind of what we talked about in our budget meeting last week. And Dave's put that into the budget, the tentative budget, which is proposed.
This hasn't been put in, though.
No. That's the first we heard about this was tonight.
$6,875.
$6,875.
Yeah. The first we heard anything of that was in the RDA meeting tonight. So that is not anywhere in the budget, tentative budget.
So how do we handle things like that to come along during the year that's not in the budget? May we get hit with something?
It's hard. It's really hard to try to plug that stuff in. Like last year, that purchase July 15th, where it's like, geez, that would have been nice to plan for like a month or two ago.
That was a Kubota tractor.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, so I guess I had a question. Was I know that the other department heads are kind of invited and
right.
To a place to be involved in the budget. Was
right.
That invitation?
And some of them might not be sit down, like even Shane, I don't remember if it was today or yesterday, the days kind of run together, but there's some of them I know if they're asking for something specific, we'll sit down and kind of rehash and go over things. It's an ongoing process, but it's not usually like a brand new, hey, I need a major piece of equipment here.
I guess I asked that question, so how do we handle this if we don't put it in the budget?
Well, part of the problem is Dave's been asking for several months now for everybody to get him the wish list. I know I've asked Jack and Gaylord for that. I know Dave has asked them for that for several months now, and it's just barely making it to him today. The budget has been going on for a while now. People knew they needed to get that to them. Jack and Gay Lim were invited to your work session last week and they didn't come.
I have invited them to sit down.
So, I mean, what do you do?
What do we do?
So what's the
the response if this doesn't get in the budget.
I don't know. I mean, they got their, the wage raise.
Yeah.
It's just the equipment.
I think it's deserved, myself personally. I think it's deserved. He's using his personal equipment and everything to do work out there and everything, but I wish that they would have got to you and got it taken care of, and it wouldn't be an issue. I guess I don't know how we handle it now. How do we handle it now? And the only person I can go to is you.
I'll say this. It's hard.
Another issue we have, too, is like equipment's down at the convoy that the city has, but the power department's paying 50% and the public works is paying 50%. What is the convoy paying for their usage? See, we should be covering all that cost for the wear and tear if we're not putting the wear and tear on it.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you got a loader down there, dump truck down there. Yeah.
Skidster fuel, my brand new tractor for mowing lawns is down there. You have a welder right here. So we have a welder up at the shop. If he was scheduled with me or Shane, that he could use when he needed it. Got portable welders over in the Indiana.
We can sense that all the time. Never thought they would get used.
But I want it to come back. He just needs to schedule with me or Shane. It can't.
We don't want to do this here.
I don't want to leave it down there because that's how stuff gets stolen too.
They've already had the cable lease stolen off of it.
Yeah. Couple times. Yeah. But if you wanted to use it, that's not a problem. Just coordinate with Mayor Shane to come get the welder. The city already owns.
But I think there needs to be a discussion on just, you know, hey, if you're using this equipment, then you should pay a portion of that out of your budget, just like we do.
Well, I agree with it to a point, though, because there's, but the city...
At least the fuel.
I mean, everything's under the auspices of the city. It's not like, you know, this group and this group. And there's not as much, I mean, the other enterprise funds have a little bit of more of a luxury of a steady revenue stream that they can pay for that stuff with. And
well, you know, I kind of agree that way, because the other thing is the recreation park pay for any lawnmowers, the mobile lawnmowers.
The general fund basically does.
Yeah, general fund, but
it's still kind of covered up. There's no way the general fund can ever afford to buy all that.
But I mean, you mow those soccer fields out there, all the different, the four taxes, and all the different things that money don't really come out of. Like, but the fuel is an issue.
The fuel does, because I just did the fuel bill today, and it is divided among all that, but the convoy is not in on the fuel bill.
But I thought we had that in your bill, where they had to pay us, just where we broke that all down between all that.
I do go through all of it, but the convoy doesn't have a fuel lane that it comes out of.
I mean, that should be budgeted in, because that's all. Don't that money, isn't that money budgetable?
Yeah.
I mean, that, where's
the fuel? I guess what we do is, I'd ask, if there's consensus that this should be there, can we make an amendment tonight to the budget to put it in? Or how do we do it?
Well, we can.
We can go in circles here for an hour.
Yeah.
Yeah, we can go in circles for an hour.
Someone else, you're not getting what you want.
So I guess that was my next question, is what
am I cutting?
What of those discussions that we had a week ago, mm-hmm. there was five or six outstanding items that you were going to try to, one of them was the raise. I think you've got that figured out. But what about,
we added all of them. You've added all of them that we talked about.
The only one I cannot afford, and I could maybe try to stretch, but I'm going to have to play with some interest numbers, basically, but I have not put in a rec site supervisor, mainly because that was just $15,000 more that I couldn't afford.
Well, part of that was we discussed that we need to go back and meet the other cities.
Yeah, they need to provide that.
What about the increase for the governing body?
That's in there.
I guess there you go, Bo. We can forfeit our increase and give it to Jack.
Yeah. If that's what you want to do, you do her.
Half of it.
Well, everybody else get a cost of living raise. I don't think the city council's had a raise for 20 years.
20 years.
Did it's one-third of what they're making around us, so.
I just had to throw that in there.
And we're not going to do a city council meeting, we're going to have a work meeting every week that we're not in.
$100 a month, or if that's even what it is going to pay for that $7,000.
$100 a month. What was it? $70? I think my check was $70.
Or net, $150.
You must tell, what was the total?
$79.
No, what was the total increase annually?
Well, the cost across all you guys, $13. Or $13,000.
About what Pete from Councilman makes per year.
Well, you can split it with Jack.
Now you've opened another can of worms.
So what we got to do?
You know, I think.
Doesn't make sense to pay up $6,000 a month for equipment lease, or we want to look at buying equipment?
That's a year, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's a year.
$7,000 a year.
$7,000 a year.
I don't have an issue doing it, I just think there needs to be a contract.
I think it's pretty darn cheap itself. Well, here's another thing. We've done the raise, and I think it was kind of, this is my personal opinion, I think it was kind of petty to even bring it up in the first place. He's never said anything about using his own equipment. It's more convenient for me to go take my own tractor out the arena than it is to go round one up and try to borrow it and make it steal. It's a pain. Yep. If you've got the stuff hanging up there in your garage, you just load it up and go with you.
You do.
I think Jack and Galen will be fine with the raise that we've got figured in there. And I think it's being, it's a give and take. Yeah, they use our loaders and our equipment and all that stuff down there, but that's a city facility just like everything else. And he donates his trucks and all his stuff. I think we're being petty. My opinion is I think we're being petty. Settle on a decent wage and let them run it the way that it's been working for them. I don't remember asking him to do that. We probably did, but I guess.
We did it. I'll come back when we wanted the reimbursement.
Well, on the chop saw that chop saw probably started the whole thing.
It did.
Okay, so we got petty on a chop saw thing, and that infuriated him. And that's what started this whole can of worms. And so I think, everybody's trying to make this city work, whether they're using their own resources or the city resources, and nobody can gauge the revenue that comes in from whether it's the Ball Diamonds when people host these tournaments and all that kind of stuff, or the revenue that comes in from events down there. Nobody can put a dollar number to it. But we have the responsibility to maintain those things, and we use what resources we got, whether they're our own personal or the city equipment. If the city, when my welder sits in the barn all winter and it only gets used two or three times, it takes me half a day to get the darn thing up and running again because I got to drain all the flipping gas out of it. There's just petty stuff going on here that I think's unnecessary.
Well, and the equipment's available to use.
It's sitting there. I'd sooner see it being used than just sitting there. If it's being used, it's being used to beautify our city or make it better, improve water lines, power lines, whatever.
The only point I have is with contracts and stuff like that is this is the point is maybe it starts with a chop saw, then it goes to a tractor, then it goes to a truck. And now the city's buying a truck, now the city's buying a tractor, whoever it is, it doesn't matter who it is. But if the city sets precedence that if you bring your old stuff and you break it, now the city's going to pay for it. And we don't have the money to do that.
I don't.
I'm not saying it one way or the other. I'm not trying to mean it that way, or I'm not taking it safe. I'm just saying you got to still look out for the overall
But then on the other side of that, then we better have some funds to, if he needs a chop saw, he comes to us and says, I need a chop saw, we buy him a chop saw.
Well, that's it, that's the thing, is then they need to have something that they will be able to use too, and I agree.
Yeah, see, that's.
And that scenario is probably gonna be more than $6,000, maybe, I don't know, but.
But I mean, if he's doing, you know, I don't know what his contract is down there, that thing where it, you know.
Well, you're gonna get a new one in there like Justin mentioned earlier.
So.
And that new one's gonna come in there and he's gonna say, okay, have I got a truck to drive? Have I got, what are you gonna supply me with to run this?
And he's gonna want about double the salary, probably.
No, he's gonna want double the salary.
Yeah, and in benefits and all of that.
That's all I was going with. We gotta look at our roles and say, charge Mike again. When we sat over there and had that conversation that night, I just, that's how this come up. I just thought, my gosh, you know, for what they're doing for, we're getting an awful good deal out of it.
When's the last time we looked at the rates of what we rent that arena for?
I don't know if they're looking at that.
Well, that's a solution.
Well, that's something to look at, what do they do?
Do we go back, do we set this tentative budget right now as it is, and then we go back and look at that and see if we could adjust that to make some sort of that?
Yeah, I think that's a step in the right direction.
I think that's what we really need to look at, first of all, to start with is, you know, again, Mont brought in what, to arena and Salina comparison to us, but really, we didn't compare
rental
stuff. Another thing that we need to really look at is comparison of that. So maybe that's what we do is adopt a tentative budget like it is right now with looking at that aspect to help offset some of this.
Well, and along those lines, Mayor, we're in position to get a grant to do more stalls, more hookups, and
to where that
maybe that's gonna help, you know, pay for some of these needs down there. I mean, that's how that should function.
Right.
You know, revenue, right. Income in and come out, and then.
Right.
So maybe in that light, maybe we should do a couple of things to see if we can help.
Because we're not in the set budget, we're just in the tentative budget.
Yeah, and let's table that thing with this pool reimbursement and everything, but sit down and do comparisons of what other arenas charge, not what they pay their people, but maybe what they charge to use their facilities. See what kind of revenue we can generate, and that's what I would put to Jack Galen. We want to look and see what the possibilities of generating more revenue. We're fine with the raise, and be darn glad we've got them. And everything they're donating, all their resources they're donating, but let's see if we can't generate some more revenue down there, and then sweeten up the.
I don't want to say it. I don't want to say there's revenue that make Jack feel like he's not bringing in enough events and everything else. I think we need to look at what we're charging in comparison to other places.
Yeah, that's all I'm saying.
Yeah, I don't think we want. Yeah, we don't want to.
We don't want to make him feel like they got to have more events come. Yeah, but we need to look at what we're charging versus other arenas and different things to update that probably.
I mean, probably just in the rental of those stalls and those RV hookups alone probably would cover close to that $6,000, I'll bet.
Yeah, as soon as we get them in, if that grant comes in and we agree and get them in, then that would help cover the $6,000 real quick.
Yeah, it may not cover the full amount, but.
Yeah, it would make a big difference, though, so that's my thoughts on it.
I think we got a bingo.
Move. Make okay. A motion, Bull, then.
I'll make a motion that we table this until we do some more investigating. I don't know how to work.
Well, let's just approve. Well, we just got to approve the tenant budget as it is right now, and then we'll work on this here with other resources.
Okay. Is that a motion?
Yeah, that's a motion. We approve the tentative budget, and we'll work on the outlying stuff at a later date. Have it in place for when we submit the final.
I'll second it.
All right, I have a motion by Russell and seconded by Justin to accept the resolution 2021-03, a resolution adopting a tentative budget for the Mount Pleasant City for the 2021-2022 fiscal year.
Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yeah.
Paul.
Yes.
Rodney.
Yes.
And Sam.
Yes.
Okay, next resolution, 2021-4, resolution adopting a tentative 2021-2022 budget for the Mount Pleasant City Public Library.
I'll make a motion to approve resolution 2021-04, a resolution adopting a tentative 2021-2022 budget for the Mount Pleasant City Public Library.
I'll second that.
Okay, I have a motion by Justin, seconded by Kevin, to adopt resolution 2021-04, resolution adopting the tentative budget for the 2021-2022 budget for the Mount Pleasant City Public Library. Roll call.
Justin.
Yeah.
Kevin.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rodney.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
All right. Next, and maybe you might have to help us on this one, Devin. This resolution for the public project, a resolution 2021-05, a resolution of the mayor and the council of the Mount Pleasant City authorizing and providing for the incurrence of indebtedness for the purpose of providing a portion of the cost of acquiring, constructing, enlarging, improving, and are extending its culinary water facility, water system facility to serve an area lawful within its jurisdiction service.
Yeah.
It's a mouthful.
Are you going to read this whole thing?
No.
You almost did.
That's true. I guess the back part of it's more.
Yeah. Basically what this is the agreement that the mayor and the city council puts for going forth with our debt or our bond with rural water. Culinary water system. We actually have to vote on it. This here is a resolution to put the bond to keep going for us.
The long resolution 2021-05. The mayor and city council, Mount Pleasant City authorizing and providing for the incurrence of indebtedness for the purpose of providing a portion of the cost of acquiring, constructing, enlarging, improving, and or extending its culinary water system facility to serve an area lawfully within its jurisdiction to serve.
I'll second.
Should have answered that up. All right, I have the motion by Sam and seconded by Kevin to accept resolution 2021-05. Roll call.
Justin.
Yes.
Kevin.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Rodney.
Yes.
Sam.
Yes.
Next, resolution 2021-06, a resolution relating to the establishment of an intergovernment program known as the San Pete Major Crimes Task Force.
And Jim told me that the city attorney wrote this up, so we should be okay. Since we're all sourced
to get here. Does the city pay into that or anything? You know?
I don't know.
Do you know Officer or Sergeant Taylor?
I believe so. $2,000.
A year?
Yeah. Is that across the board for all cities, or is it depending on each city or captain? So is it like a population, or property, like a population thing?
It's probably in there somewhere, if you want.
I kind of agree with you, but that's it.
The major corporate cities, I think, Ephraim.
Yeah, I think they're all
yeah,
on the front page.
Yeah, Sepik County, Ephraim, Fairview, Fountain Green, Gunnison, Mount Pleasant, Moroni, Snow College, and Spring City.
So they're not. See, they're not all on there at all, but.
So why does it say Gunnison Valley Police Department on that one? Because they take in Centerfield and Gunnison, so they went
have the other. Do they do Mayfield as well?
I think they do. I'm not sure.
That's all part of the Mayfield and they.
They don't. That's
the Mayfield.
But no, Centerfield and Gunnison scared on the police.
So is this is a brand new thing or what?
No, I think we do it every year.
Is it just a renewal every year?
Yes. Yep, we'll put the task force.
And a resolution for, but we've had this agreement for.
Nate, see the name on here, do they still get these crime tasks? Because there's quite a few cities that ain't on here.
They, yeah.
Do they still get some of that?
Semi-assistance.
Semi-assistance, not like.
Well, I know Moroni's not on the page into it.
Moroni's on the list here.
I'm just thinking, well, like.
I don't know if that's an accurate list, I don't know.
Right, like, I'm just curious if what, you know, I don't know, maybe.
So just conversations I've had with the task force, so they'll, they're there to give them information, but they're not gonna go and work a major crimes case for them.
For them, they're not participating.
They're mainly gonna be, they're gonna see.
I would think, if I was the mayor of some little town, they'd be getting into it.
Yes, I would too. Might need all the help I can get.
Yeah.
So with us, they're gonna come aid, but then they're working specific, it's main part of the major crimes task force, they're consistently working drug crimes.
Yeah.
I'll put you on the spot, sorry, I'm just kinda like said, my own curiosity, how that.
By the way, appreciate having you here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we've been paying into it for at least 10 years. Yeah.
I think it's one of those resolutions that's renewed every so many years, and I'm not sure what those years are.
Maybe every year.
I don't think we done it last year.
I don't remember doing it last year.
I don't think we done it last year, that's why I think it's every so many years, so.
Well, I'll make a motion that we approve the resolution, 2021-06, for the Stampede Major Crime Task Force.
I'll second that one.
Okay, I have a motion by Russell and seconded by Rondi to approve resolution 2021-06, a resolution relating to the establishment of an intergovernment program known as the Stampede Major Crimes Task Force. Roll call.
Sam.
Yes.
Rondi.
Yes.
Paul.
Yes.
Jovan.
Yes.
And Justin.
Yeah, she threw me for a loop.
I just made sure you're leaving.
Thought I was in trouble for a minute.
I feel bad for Sam.
That's what Sam was, yeah.
Next, discussion and action on our well and water treatment plant, Dylan. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
We should've moved you out earlier in this.
Next time we have guys coming from out of town, we might wanna move.
I know, I was thinking of that.
I was coming, sorry.
Well, I told you guys earlier today I was coming, so. So I'll update first thing real quick on the well, we, last council, we approved motion to award the well drilling to KP Ventures, company out of Arizona. Provided we got approval from rural development and after checking references and things like that. We went into checking references, while we're in that process, we got another email from them that was further qualifying their bid or adding more conditions. They're saying like, well, okay, we can't meet the schedule that was stipulated in the RFP, and our prices may change because of that. Looking further into the contract documents, the EJCDC requirements that we put out with the bid, one of the statements in there is that we cannot accept any bids that add conditions regarding time or payment money on those. So we talked to rural development again, said, well, it looks like we can't accept this bid, we need to rebid the project. They insisted that we talk to the city's legal counsel before making that decision. We had talked to the city's legal counsel and did confirmation that that was the course that we needed to take at this, is reject the bid from KP Ventures and rebid the well project. The takeaway, we're probably on the same schedule that we would have been with accepting their bid. We are going to adjust the specifications on the well drilling bid documents to allow for other drilling methods that will hopefully open it up for more bidders and get us a good well at hopefully a lower price. And it'll likely be on the same schedule that we would have been with this initial bids.
Because of his conditions?
Because of his conditions, and he said they couldn't start until mid-July.
So, has he been informed that we're going to reject his bid yet?
He has. I sent him an email, we also reached out to other drillers that we had reached out to initially, and we also put an ad in the paper on Friday that should come out tomorrow.
What was his response?
We didn't receive a response from him out there. We did let him know that we were rejecting the bid because of the conditions that they put, we couldn't accept it because of the stipulations and the contract documents required by the funding agency.
So it's not necessarily, what if he would have been the only bidder and there wasn't those conditions, would they still made us rebid or not?
I think that we would have had to rebid anyways.
He was the only bidder. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I mean. Even without the conditions, we may have had to rebid because he was the lone wolf.
Yeah, well, in the email they sent after that, they said, yeah, okay, we can't get scared, so our prices can't change. We're also going to do this other drilling method that you didn't allow in the specification. Which is, okay, if we change the bid documents to allow that, then that might, we're going to get different prices and different people that are interested in bidding the project. So I saw no real downsides to rebidding it for the city and doing it that way.
So did you end up talking to Kevin or Richard
on that? Richard.
So we do have to get a bond attorney to work with Rural Water. Kevin won't do that. No, he doesn't.
Did he get back to you on it? Because they told me yesterday he was looking into whether it was something.
We need to make a hurried decision, so I just went ahead and told
him. I know we've used Richard on those in the past. Richard Chamberlain on all the work.
Rural Water recommended going that way. Even though they can't recommend, they just used a couple of different attorneys.
Eric Johnson probably, and
Richard somebody from up north, and I can't remember the law firm, and Chamberlain's was the two that they dealt with.
David Church's firm, probably.
Yeah. So we'll get that, the bond anticipation note they put together. That acts as security for the construction interim financing. That'll help us out with it too, so that'll be good, you know, keep that in place.
I don't think we need it for the interim financing, it was just the long term for Rural okay. Water. We don't need nothing for Cache Valley.
Okay, yeah, they don't need anything.
They don't need anything, it's not required, it's just for Rural Water that we needed it for.
Okay, now that's good.
Question I ask, how long is this bid open? So we're reopening up for bids.
Yeah.
And how long is that
bid? The new bid date we set was the last council meeting here in May, which is
2 weeks.
2 weeks from today.
So they have 2 weeks to submit her bids.
So we put it in the paper?
That's right.
You did. Sunrise did, right?
Sunrise did.
Okay, because I was going to say it wasn't sent to me. Yeah,
we did. On Friday. That's the well part of it. Any other questions on the well portion there?
One thing I question, I know the one leacher that we want to use is actually leaving on a mission in the first quarter of July. So we need to keep that in mind to where if we want her to go do it again, we need to do it before the first, probably fairly quick.
Yeah, I think that'd be a really good thing to do to confirm our spot.
We don't have any surveyors out yet, do we? Not about.
You mean on the Elmless project? They've already been down for the spring line stuff, but they haven't been down for the...
Because if we could get that set and survey it, then we could get it right back. I mean, we can put a GPS point on it, but that may be sub-meter or something, but a survey point would put us right there. If we're that worried about it.
Yeah, really, it's probably not that close, but you hate to miss it by 2 feet.
Yes.
That's much.
I still haven't, I'm not convinced about that.
You see them work, it's amazing.
Witchy stuff, yeah.
The person that's good at it, they're good at it.
Well, that's the most effective way that there is to identify where the best producing well can be, isn't it? Well, Witcher, I mean, what are our other options?
Test
well. More expensive, I know that.
Test well's the best way.
Yeah.
Anyway, so again, that's just something we need to keep in mind, that we need to do that within the next month, probably.
Yeah, that's good to know. Plan on that. The other item that we had out to bid, we received proposals for, was the treatment plant equipment. So this covers the supplying the equipment for the treatment plant. We'll still do a design and bid out the construction of the facility itself. But doing this allows us to select the equipment separately, so we get, you know, exactly what we want and aren't stuck with just a low price bid. Something that's going to work good long term in terms of maintenance and everything else. We received bids. It's been a week from Friday last week. We got the bids in. We made those available, sent them out. We had scores on those from Robert, for myself, and then we also went through, and we were able to go through them with Mayor Olson and with Coulter. We did scores. I don't know if anybody else had input on what was presented. There's a lot of material, it's 100 pages in each of those things, covered up everything we asked for in the RFP. The takeaways from it, we got two bids from good suppliers that both had the ISO certification that we required in the RFP. We got both from West Tech and from Paul. The average scores were really consistent between each of us with all the criteria that we set. In each of them, the scores were more in favor of West Tech than for Paul. The areas that they excelled on, in particular, was customer service. West Tech's based out of Salt Lake City. All of the plants that we've talked to in Utah and that we've worked with in design and construction of these have had really good things to say about the customer service they get from West Tech. Paul has been around a little longer, is a little bigger company. But there were some people that we talked to that weren't thrilled with the customer service that they got from Paul on that. The other items that there were differences in, just conforming to the RFP, answering all the questions that we asked in there. But yeah, again, the total average.